Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
We're going to go on a journey, everybody. We're going to follow the star. How many are thankful that we have the light of the world that we can give our lives to and we can follow this morning? It is so good. Just thinking as the theme of that little video clip was hope. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses here in just a few moments. But for those of you that are just joining us today, we are beginning a brand new series this morning that's going to take us on a journey towards Christmas. And it has already felt like Christmas around CPC these last few days. Just lots of good stuff going on. And so we are on a journey towards Christmas. And over the next few weeks, we are going to explore some of the amazing gifts that God has delivered to us. Not Santa, but God through his son, Jesus Christ. Gifts like hope. Hope in the storm. Hope in those times when life just seems so dark. We all go through those times, and we'll touch on that in a few moments here. Gifts like love. Love that never gives up. How many are thankful this morning that we serve a God who never gives up on us, even when we find ourselves distant and away and on the run? His love is constantly pursuing us, and Pastor Joel is going to be talking about that next Sunday. And finally, the gift of joy and peace. All of these gifts are part of the Advent themes that we're going to be celebrating this morning. And you know what? If you didn't get here right at 10 o'clock, you missed three of our young ladies who came and actually gave a reading this morning. Let me encourage you, come 5 minutes early. Let's be in the house early so that we can start strong. And I want to just encourage you to do that. I think it's just a good witness and a good testimony. So let me encourage you, leave 5 minutes earlier so you can be in the house early and we can get started early and everyone's together. It's awesome. But we had just three beautiful young ladies who gave a welcome this morning and a reading, and it was just great. And I know a lot of you missed it, so just a little word there for all of us to remember. I know it's a busy time, but how many would say God is worthy of our best efforts? Amen? And so let me encourage you with that. And so we're going to begin this morning with Matthew chapter 2, and we're going to just start with just reading a story about some seekers, some people, some very influential people who experienced something that they had never seen before, but they knew that there was something very significant about it, and they were drawn to the great light and a star that would eventually lead them to Jesus. These guys in the Bible were referred to as magi, or more commonly known in the Christmas story, wise men. Some would describe them as kings from the east. And so let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse 1. It says, "And after Jesus was born..." Now let me just say, usually when we think about Advent, we're thinking about all the things that were before the coming of Christ. Well, let's put it this way. These guys that we're going to read about right now, they saw something that happened even before Jesus was actually born. And so in a sense, there was a real sense that there was something on the horizon that they were looking forward to. "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And so he called together all of the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they said, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I may too go and worship him." Now let me just give you a little inside track here. Herod had no idea, no desire to worship Jesus. Basically, he wanted to know where this Jesus was and who this Jesus would be, or where he would be, so he could actually kill him, put him out of his, like, he was trying to remove any threat of his own kingdom. And so after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw, I love this verse, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I think it's important to note that these Magi, it doesn't say exactly which country they had come from, but they had come from the east. It was a long distance. They estimate, scholars estimate that the journey of these Magi, it was likely it took them anywhere from maybe 6 months to a year. And so this star had appeared, and they knew something was very significant. It was no ordinary star. And so they set out on their journey to go and find this one, because it, to them, they recognized that royalty was attached to this star. And so they began their journey towards Christ. I want to say this morning, some of you here today are on a journey towards Christ. We have people here in this valley this morning who are on a journey towards Christ. And one of the wonderful privileges that we have as a church through the Christmas season is not, as Joel said, not just to sing the carols, but once again, to be able to present the greatest message on earth. How many would agree with that this morning? We have the greatest opportunity to share with our community Jesus, the light of the world. And so there are people, you have coworkers, you have family members, you have friends and neighbors who are on a journey. Some of them don't even know the journey they are on, but you have an opportunity, and I'll say a little more about this later, you have an opportunity to help be, in a sense, that light, that shining light. The Bible says that we are called to all shine like stars. And even the theme from the ladies' night, you shine. We're to shine like stars. Stars in the universe. Stars that bring glory and honor to God and help people come to Christ. I would say this morning that there are some, maybe even here today, You are maybe on a journey that's not coming to Christ. Some of you have been on a journey that's actually been taking you away from Christ. And we have all kinds of people in this valley who once knew the Lord. How many would say, I have a friend, I know someone in my life, in my community, in my family, that once knew Jesus, but they have wandered away. They are on a journey that's taking them in the wrong direction. I have family members that are going in the wrong direction. But thankfully, we can help be a light that helps to bring them back towards Christ. One of the great themes, and I've just been really gripped by this, one of the great themes of the Christmas story is God's invitation to come. God's invitation to come. These wise men, these magi, these seekers, that star to them was an invitation for them to come. They said they came to Herod and they were looking for Jesus. They said, because we have come to worship him. We're reminded of how the angels, and you can read about this in Luke chapter 2 if you're jotting some notes down. There's some paper in the seats nearby. You can jot things down if you want. Reminded of how the angels in Luke chapter 2, they appeared to common shepherds, common people out in the fields watching their flocks by night. And the angels came to them on the night that Jesus was actually born, and they said, today, they announced to the shepherds, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. And you will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And what's interesting was that the implication here by these angels as they announced to the shepherds, the implication was come. They wanted these shepherds to come and experience this great birth. And so compelled by God's invitation, these shepherds came. And we know that we're familiar with the story of how they came to the manger where Jesus was. The good news this morning is that God is still inviting people to come. He's inviting you to come. And as I said earlier, no matter where you are on the journey, our prayer and our hope is that you will come, that you will come close, that you will come to Jesus. You will receive his invitation to come. And many of you today have already made that decision. As a child, as a young boy, and that's why it's so important that we teach our children. At my mother's knee, I was just a little boy, is when I first gave my life to Jesus Christ. And as a child, I understood through my mother speaking to me about God's love and Jesus that I accepted Jesus into my heart. And I want to commission you as parents to take that responsibility seriously, to teach your children, to give them that. There's no greater joy than you as a parent leading your child to Christ. It's one of the great joys and privileges. I had some times in my teenage years where I drifted, and I, as I said, sometimes we get on a journey going away from God. And as a 16-year-old, I began to go in a journey away from God. But it was through some circumstances in my life that God got a hold of my heart and began to call me home, call me back. And I'm so thankful for that. And I heard his invitation to come back. And in spite of shame, in spite of my sin, I realized that there was a God who loved me and that there was a Jesus who could forgive me and set me free and would welcome me back home. How many are thankful that we serve a God like that this morning? A Jesus who's constantly saying, would you come? Would you come back? And he's welcoming us home. I want to say this morning, the good news is that there is no situation, there is no circumstance that Jesus and the light of the world cannot overcome. There is no sin. There's nothing that you have done. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And that's why we call this morning a journey of hope in this first message today. A journey of hope. And the thought came into my heart was this, is that the darker the night, the brighter the star. Would you agree with that this morning? The darker the night, the darker the situation, the more hopeless life might seem to be, the more hopeless that person might be, that the farther they might be away from God, the brighter his light can shine. I think you would agree with me this morning that we live in a world of increasing darkness and brokenness and despair. Every time we turn on the news, in fact, sometimes I know some people, they just say, I just can't listen to the news anymore. I watch the news. I'll tell you why I watch the news, because it reminds me of how to pray. We can't just bury our heads in the sand and ignore what's really going on out there in the world. I think that's the wrong approach to bad news in our world. And so I watch the news. But at the same time, you can easily become gripped with the brokenness, the despair that's out there, the suffering, the pain. Even recently, in recent weeks and months, I think of how so much of our newscasts have been related to women coming forward and confessing their own brokenness and despair over sexual harassment in the workplace, and not only in the workplace, but in other forms. And it's a horrible symptom of our society today. And thankfully, we serve a God of hope that can minister to those broken lives and those circumstances that have surrounded that. We live in a world where it's like every week, it feels like the threat of world peace has kind of just been notched up a little bit more, and it's becoming more and more a dangerous world. The threat of ISIS, terrorism, all of these things. In our own countries, shootings, turmoil in the political arenas, all of these things. My intention is not to depress you this morning, but it just to remind us today that we live in a world that is very dark, and we live in a world that desperately needs a Savior. Would you agree with that this morning? Desperately needs the hope of Jesus Christ. In more personal ways, so many people today battle this thing called mental illness and depression and anxiety levels. I was just on the news last night. They were talking about teenage suicides increasing, like on the rise. Now, this was an American broadcast, but I would say that probably the statistics are no different here in Canada. But basically, they're saying that 1 out of 5 children and youth are struggling with anxiety and depression. And it's something that we as a church have an answer for, that we can help bring hope into this. The good news this morning is that it's into this present darkness that Jesus, the light of the world, still shines. And while we put up our trees and our lights, and I love it. Sometimes I wish we could just leave them all up all year round. But, you know, the reality is artificial lights and parties and all the Christmas festivities, in many ways, only accentuate for some people the pain that they're carrying inside of them. And that's why there is no hope in all of the artificial symbols that we often put out there. It's good, but ultimately our only hope is found in Jesus Christ. Interesting how the Bible tells us that it was a pretty dark time for the people of Israel when Jesus first came. Even 700 years before, give or take, the prophet Isaiah spoke of the Messiah who would come. And if you want to write this scripture down, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it's actually one of my favorite Christmas Advent passages. And these were the words of Isaiah the prophet when he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." These were words of the prophet that were given hundreds of years before Jesus, the Messiah, actually came. And basically what was happening was that these were a people who were desperate for a deliverer. These were a people who were living under great oppression. Even at the time of Christ's birth, it was a time of Roman oppression, and the people were greatly oppressed for who they were as Jewish in their faith and so on. And it was a brutal time. It was a dark time in the history of Israel. And the reality was that no one could rescue them except for God. No one could rescue them except for the promise of the Messiah, who would be their only hope. And friends, this morning, today is no different. We today, in 2017, our community, the Comox Valley, many of you this morning, we share a common experience of darkness and desperation. And no one can rescue us except Jesus. But I want you to know that it's into our darkest hour that God shows up. And it would be awesome this morning just to hear some of your stories of many of you can look back at a dark period of your life where your soul was dark, your circumstances were dark, but Jesus showed up. Jesus came into your life, the light of the world, and He makes all the difference. How many would say amen to that? He is the difference maker. He is the divine difference maker. We're reminded this morning that there is, as I said earlier, there is no darkness, there is no situation that God's presence can't invade. There is no hopeless situation. One of the words that God reminded me of again this week, and we talked about it this summer, was that no one is beyond hope. Everyone say that with me together. No one is beyond hope. And no one is beyond the reach of God's love. We're going to hear more about that next week. This past summer, we did a series on giants. And we said that no giant is too great to overcome. No addiction is too great to overcome. No brokenness, no hurt, no wound. Some of you have experienced wounded hearts, wounded relationships, wounded marriages, wounded family dynamics where there's been intense hurt that's come into your life. I want you to know this morning that there's nothing that can escape the love of God if you allow His hope and His presence to come and invade those areas. It all starts with Jesus, the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star. Jesus, some of you this morning, you're here and you're desperate for things to change in your life. And right now, I'm just asking the Holy Spirit as I'm speaking, Holy Spirit, would you touch, would you speak? You know exactly, like an arrow can go and touch every heart in this house here this morning. Some of you are desperate for a new beginning. You're desperate for a fresh start. You're desperate for hope. And hope is not in something that this earth can offer you. We were praying before the service, and one of the folks that was praying with us in our pre-service prayer basically just reminded us in their prayer that they're the only one that can really satisfy us, the only one that can really rescue us and give us hope is Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star. And so the invitation this morning is to come. To come. And just as the wise men and the shepherds came, Jesus says, come. He says, come. In Matthew 11, 28, I love these words of Jesus when He said, come unto Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In my notes this morning, I have the word all underlined because it just, you know, God doesn't just say to the come if you've been a good boy. It's like Santa's checking to see who's been naughty or nice, right? Jesus takes the naughty. Would you agree? He says all can come to Him. He's not going to put you through a screen test. He's not going to put you through a filter and say, I'll take you, but I won't take you. I'll take that color of skin, but I won't take that. I'll take that race, but not that race. Jesus will take all who are willing to come to Him. Jesus will take your Muslim neighbor. He will take your person who worships another god, another religion. Jesus said, all can come to Him. All who are willing can come. He says, come, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Some of you are weary because of decisions you've been making that have not been helpful to you. Some of you are weary because of unconfessed sin. Some of you are weary because you've been living a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God. It's not taking you in the direction that God would have you to go. Some of you are broken today because of your burden today, because of some choices you've been making that God is saying, I want to take you out of that. I want to set you free from that. Some of you are weary today because you've been running away from God. It is, you know, I think of the story of the prodigal son. You know, that amazing story where he thought he had it all and he went out and he ended up losing it all. And it became a very wearisome time in his life because he was away from his father's love. But you know what? The beautiful part of that story is that he finally came to his senses, right? He came to his senses and he saw the error of his ways. He saw that he was going the wrong path, down the wrong, making the wrong choices, doing the wrong thing, completely going away from his father's love. But what did he do? He finally said, I will arise. Came to his senses. The smartest decision he ever made was when he re-surrendered, recommitted his life, and he said, I will return to my Father. My hope this morning, and I don't even know who I'm speaking here to who today, but I'm praying that if there's any one of you that have been away from God, you've been going in the wrong direction, that today you would make a life decision, not a momentary decision, but that you would make a life decision, and you would say, Jesus, today, Heavenly Father, today I am coming back to you. I am coming home to you. I am accepting your invitation to come. On the sign out front of our church, it says, welcome home. Welcome home. And Jesus is here to welcome us home this morning. He's here to welcome us home. As a 16-year-old, I'll never forget it, when I recommitted my life to Jesus Christ, he welcomed me home. And he can welcome you home this morning. And Jesus says, come. He's calling the backslidden. He's calling those who are feeling shame and guilt. Maybe things that you did last night and you're feeling shame and guilt this morning. Jesus is saying, come. No one is beyond hope. Some of you, as I bring this message to a close, may be thinking, Pastor Dave, you really don't know my situation. And that's true. There's a lot of you I don't know. Some of you I do know. Some of you would say, my life is such a mess. Some of you are wondering what in the world you're even doing here in church this morning. I know why you're here, because God wanted you to be here. Some of you may be listening to the lies that, and the lie would say, I'm beyond hope. You see, it's easier to stay on a journey away from God in some ways. Some people would say, you know, it's just, I know it's if I choose Christ, I know what I'm going to face. It's going to be hard. I'm going to lose friends. It's going to be a difficult road if I continue to pursue Jesus, if I actually come home, because I know that there's going to be some things that God's going to ask me to maybe give up or let go of or walk away from. I know all that, and you're saying, Pastor Dave, I just can't do it. Let me just tell you this. It's very easy. We've been talking about hearing God right now, or the last few weeks. I want to encourage you, don't listen to the lies of the enemy who would keep you from surrendering your life to God's invitation to come. Jesus said, whosoever will may come. It brings in that all factor. And right now, Jesus is saying, whosoever you are this morning, he's saying, come. You can come today. You can come as you are. You can come with your shame. You can come with your guilt. You can come with your weariness. You can come with your broken heart. And you can turn your life over to Jesus Christ today. This morning on this first Sunday of Advent, we've lit a candle. It's a candle of hope. And it's an invitation to begin a new journey. I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come back. I want you to bow your heads with me, would you please? We're just going to take a moment right now because God is, I believe, wanting to speak to our hearts, to your heart. He's inviting us this morning to come. I'm wondering this morning how many would say, Pastor Dave, and I just want everyone, I want to just respect the privacy of this moment for a moment. Would say, I guess the question I would like to ask is, where are you on the journey? I'm wondering this morning would how many would say today that, and I want to just acknowledge your honesty today. You would say, Pastor Dave, I've been away from God, but I'm hearing God's invitation this morning to come home. And I want to be on that journey to come back today, to come home today, to come back to Christ. If that's you this morning, would you just quickly just raise your hand where you are? Yes, God bless you. Is there someone else this morning? Yes. Anyone else would just say, I'm just simply saying, where are you on the journey? Where are you on the journey? And some of you are saying, today I'm on a journey back. I'm on a journey back. Anyone else? Just two or three hands have gone up already. Just want to pray. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? This is really an important time. I believe this is a picture for us this morning. I want to encourage us as a church throughout this Christmas season that we would be mindful of where people are at on their journey. That we would be part of helping people in their journey back to Christ. Oh God, help us. Help us help others. Help us help others. Help us help others in their journey back to Christ. Lord, right now, I just want to pray, and I'm asking all of us together to pray for these individuals who have slipped up their hand saying, I'm on a journey back home. I'm coming home. I pray that their hearts right now would be filled with hope. That their hearts would be filled with the grace of God and His forgiveness and His grace. Thank you, Lord. Can we all stand to our feet together? How many would say this morning, I have people in my family and my I have coworkers, I have friends, I have neighbors that they are far from God. They are on a journey away from God. Maybe some are on a journey back, but there's some people right now that I am praying for this morning. Would you just slip your hand up? There's someone that I'm going to raise my hand on their behalf this morning. I am raising my hand this morning on behalf of those who need to be drawn back to the light of Jesus, the light of the world, the hope of this universe, and it's Jesus Christ this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He loves us through and through. He loves us through and through. And He loves them through and through. Would you right now, just under your breath, just name their name. Just name their name. Name that family member. Name that friend that needs to come home, needs to come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 One more thing I want us to pray for this morning, and that is that there are some of you that are facing some difficult circumstances in your life, and there's a darkness. It might be a health problem. It might be a family conflict, a wound, and you need the hope of Christ, the presence of God to invade those areas. And you're a follower of Jesus, but there's some areas that you really need Him to come and invade with His presence today. Would you slip up your hand? I've got my hand upraised this morning as well for some stuff that I really need God to intervene. I really need the hope of Jesus to come. And deliver and rescue. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we surrender that to you. We surrender these situations to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We've been following the story of one of our ladies in our church who's recently been diagnosed with cancer. And last Sunday I looked out and there she was sitting in the back, and she had a mask on because she has to be very careful. And I got an email from her a couple of days ago, and she said, "Pastor Dave, it was so good to be in church last Sunday, to be with my family, to be with my church family, and to be able to just experience and to know that I live with hope," even though she's been given a not a very good sentence when it comes to the physical realities. She lives with eternal hope inside of her. I want us to continue to pray for Doris in this season, that hope would carry her. And I know we've got people in our church that have been reaching out to her and her small group. And I want to say, you are carriers of hope. Coming into the influenza season, right? You know why they call it influenza? Because you influence people with flu. That's why they call it influenza, influence. I want to give you something else to influence people. You carry hope with you. You have contagious hope with you. Amen? And you need to carry that everywhere you go. And that the joy of the Lord would be your strength wherever you go into our valley this Christmas season. And Joel, I want us to, if we could close this morning with that song, Joy to the World, and it goes into My God Saves. And I want us to close with that this morning. I was just thinking about those guys from the East, not Ontario, but those wise men, those magi. They came a long ways. And you might have someone, and it just seems like they are so far away. But let's believe God for them. Let's believe God for them that they can come home. They can come back and experience Jesus, the light of the world. Amen? God bless you all. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.